welcome to this inspiring message by Paul Van Essen at Greater Life Church. For more information about us, do visit our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
We're talking about the power of your faith. How many of you seen that video clip that we organised? Did you see that? Yep. And send it to your friends, and we want to inspire you. All right there, Carrie? You're looking at me funny. All right? We're good? All right. So we're going to do this series because your faith has tremendous power. And every week I want to talk about something different with regard to your faith. So this week we're going to talk about faith and love. We're going to see just how the Holy Spirit takes us, how much of this we can get through. But let's go over to this first page and we'll look together at this because there's a couple of important points and just important to understand about faith. Have a look at this. Faith and love. And the two, which is, 5 o'clock in the morning typing, are the two most important of the big three. Faith, hope, and love. You remember that verse? 1 Corinthians 13. Now there's three things that remain. Faith, hope, and love. All of these things are supernatural forces. Faith, hope, and love. There's like a version of faith, if I can put it that way, in the natural world, but it's not the faith of God. It's not the same thing. There is a version of hope in the world, but it's not the same as the hope of God. It's not the same thing because everything about Christianity is supernatural. And what where we got it wrong a lot of times is we kind of thought, well, I'm this person and I live this way and now I've decided to believe in Jesus and so that's a part of my life. But, 90% of my life I live more or less the same way, except that Jesus is a part of it. And if we're good little Christians, then we kind of make him a very important part. But a lot of how we operate day to day in our thinking is very much the same. And that's a big problem because we are missing out on the power of God flowing through us. Everything about God, the Bible says you when you receive Jesus, you become a new creature, a new creation, everything's new. And God deposits things, but the Bible says that faith is the gift of God. So you've got a certain amount, but when you receive Jesus, you receive this supernatural force called forth, faith. Everyone say supernatural force. And what we want to do as we talk about this is find out how to tap into the faith and the supernatural power that God has already given to us. Because we can live as Christians, but have little or no experience of the power of God, of the power of faith, of the power of love, if we don't know what we have. And a lot of Christians live that way. It's like if your great aunt Edna in Australia that you didn't know you had, and she died, and she's your last living relative. Or you're her last living relative, forgive me. And unbeknownst to you, there's no one else. And so there's 20 million pounds, everyone say 20 million, in a bank account over there in Australia, earning interest, and they're looking for you because it belongs to you. And no one else can claim it because they're not you. But if you don't know that it belongs to you, you will live your whole life without the 20 million, even though it belonged to you all the time. And that's exactly the same with the things of God. The supernatural power of God belongs to you. The supernatural faith of God belongs to you. The supernatural love of God, which I sure hope we can get to, it belongs to you. But if you don't know that it's yours and you don't start acting accordingly, you live pretty much in a lot of ways very similar to people who haven't met Jesus. You're still a Christian. God loves you. You're going to heaven. I'm not talking about that. But see, a lot of Christianity has been presented as if it's like some kind of divine insurance policy and, you just want to make sure, where I was in France. I know some of you that might have Roman Catholic history and aspects of that church kind of culture. in extreme forms will be like, you know, if you don't come to our church, you may well miss out on heaven. And you would, at least if you come a little bit, you might get to purgatory, which is kind of an interesting place they seem to have found somewhere. And but that fear-based thing, and it's all to do with, you know, well, when you die. No, the whole thing with Jesus is he makes a tremendous difference today while you live. Oh, I reckon that was pretty good right there, yeah. And so faith and love are two of these forces in your spirit. Faith, the connection with hope, is that faith is built on hope. It's the substance of the thing you hope for. And I mentioned a little bit about that last week. I don't want to go into that anymore. Faith is that quality of your spirit that receives from God. Now, there's a couple of references there, and I'm not going to have time because I want to touch on this love thing. And you'll be amazed. If we can get this love thing, you'll be amazed. But those two references, Mark 11, 20 to 25, if you have a chance this week, have a look at them, read them, because they're two of the best little nuggets of truth, and they simply show you how people received from God because of their faith, and not because of their good looks, even though for many of you, you would qualify, and the rest of you, you know who you are. That's what... Yes, of course. See, and not because you're born the right place and not because you have a lot of money and not because mum and dad this and that. But none of those things receive from God. Faith receives from God. And so it has a strong connection with love in that way because love is something you've got to receive as well. But if you have a chance, look at those, Mark 11, 20 to 25, and Mark 5, 25 to 34. They're two wonderful examples where the clear teaching of Jesus is that you're getting things from God because of your faith. And that's why I want to teach on this whole series, because I want to help you receive more. Let's go to this next one, and we'll have a look here now at faith. That there's a verse here that says that faith works by agape love. Now, from here on, what I'm going to do is refer to love as, well, or agape is probably how we mostly say it. Sounds a bit American to me, but phileo and agape, but agape love. I'm going to use either one of those references all the time to try and show you something that's important. Faith works by agape love. Receiving and achieving things for God by faith is of no value without agape love. That's a big one. Because Jesus will say to some people, they'll say, "We cast out all these devils in your name. We healed these sick people in your name." And he'll say, "Oh, I never knew you." So miracles are important, the supernatural is important, but love is more important. And so you've got a little reference at the bottom here. If I, pull a bit out of it. If I have the gift of prophecy, I can fathom all mysteries. If I have faith that can move mountains, but don't have agape love, I'm nothing. So this love thing is just super important. And you'll know some of that reference there. Let's go to the next page here. Just got a couple more, and I think here we go. So agape love, the Greek word mostly used in the New Testament for love is agape. Agape love, that's what I'm using it. There's several other words in Greek, but the only other one the Bible uses is phileo. Everyone say phileo. So they are two different things. And in English, and it's the same in French, they just have one word for love, amor. But the trouble with that is that love is differs a lot. You know, you could say I love pizza, and you could say I love my wife. You know, and there's a pretty big difference in what you're talking about here. Loving pizza requires very little commitment from you. It's not, never talks back. You don't have to work on a relationship. But we use that term, you see, we love it, or we love this movie. I love it, but it's a very different thing. And phileo is best understood here as natural human love. So phileo is in the world, all through the world, and the best, I like to put it this way, the best the world has is phileo. And it's not bad, you know what I mean? Some people in life are... not very nice, I suppose. Some people we might say are not very loving, that awfully broad term. But the best the world has. So my parents, I just celebrated with them. I got to visit them, and they just got married for 60 years. And they haven't received Jesus yet, but we're working on it. And they're lovely people in their 80s now. But they don't have agape, because it's not possible to have agape without God. But they have phileo, and phileo is a good thing. Phileo has limits, though. You've seen that when families break down. You love this person till death us do part, and 12 years later, you're in a divorce court fighting and scrapping for every cent you can get. That's what happens a lot of times to a lot of people. It's not that people, when they said I love you, didn't mean it, usually. It's just a different kind of love. It's a natural love. And the world is loaded with it. In some places it becomes perverted, but in its best cases, phileo is a really good force. You know, what you have for your children, and for many people, they will sacrifice, good parents, they will sacrifice for their children. And that's phileo, that's a good thing. Lots of people, whether they're in the church or out of the church, a lot of people would do that. And that's a good thing. So we're not saying it's bad, you see, but it's different to agape. And we're a little unfamiliar with agape because we use this term. And so we say, I love God. But then we also say, you know, I love my girlfriend. You know, I don't have one. I have a wife. She's a girlfriend as well, so that's all right. But you know what I mean? When people are young and they say, oh, I love you forever and all that. And they, you know, bless their hearts. But they don't really know what they're talking about. Because I was there, and I don't say that to, you know, to be belittling at all, but really to help people, to help us, because we do, we feel like that. I remember thinking like that, and thinking, oh, I'm just going to love this person forever, and oh, I'm just going to, you know, and we'll get married, and then we'll have these children, and I hope they look just like her, because she's so beautiful. Sounds tragic, doesn't it? But, you know, that's... And, of course, you know, that didn't go anywhere. As usual, they all broke it up with me. That's what usually happened. I was the nice guy, and they just said, oh, he's a nice man, but, you know, he seems a nice guy, but, you know, no, I don't think it's a serious thing. So, thank God for Caroline. Amen. You need to pray for her, believe me. So we have phileo, right? And then agape love is something different. It's the love of God, and you can't get it until you've received God, because God is love. And that's agape. God is agape. Let's flip over to the next page. I want to show you just a couple of verses, and this is just such a huge thing. So watch this. Matthew 22, you'll know this verse, right? But let's look at the context. The first and greatest commandment is this: to agape God. Now, the difference with agape and phileo is that agape is completely selfless and it expects nothing in return. So when you read 1 Corinthians 13, and it has that love is very patient, love is kind, love doesn't take into consideration a wrong suffered, love always never fails, you know, that's agape there. And if you've ever stopped to think about it, that seems like a pretty darn impossible list to live by. Like love, you give and you don't expect anything back. So you just keep giving and you just keep giving and it doesn't matter. I'm nice to you, you're mean to me. I'm nice to you the next day. I catch the bus with you every day. I'm nice to you every day. And you're just always mean, and it just doesn't bother me in the slightest. Because I'm not expecting anything. Because there's a different kind of a love. That's agape. That's different. And it doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Can you imagine that? I mean, you think of all the people, Christians and not. If we're struggling with forgiveness, which will be a big thing for many people in this world, and a big thing for many Christians, it's because you haven't discovered agape. Because when you discover agape, forgiveness follows. Because you don't even take into account. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, if you've been in situations, we've all been in them, most of us, in situations where we really got hurt. And maybe we thought we wouldn't make it. And maybe today, as I say these things, some thoughts stir up in your heart. And it's not that you forget, you know, it's not that you forget, but your heart shifts and there's no anger in there anymore. And there's no list of, you know, this they did wrong, that they did wrong. And they may have mistreated you for 20 years. But agape doesn't even keep a record. Sounds impossible. But it's what everybody is looking for. And it's the love of God. Here's what I think a lot of the problem has been in the Christian church. Because if we're honest right now, and we've got to shift this, we've got to change this, this is so important. If we're honest right now, most people outside of the kingdom of God, outside of the church, most of them do not look at the church and think, those people have so much love, I have got to be there. In fact, some people, for different reasons, might think there's less love in the church than there is in the world. Now, if you don't understand agape, then you're going to live by phileo, because that's the next best thing you can do. And that's why many Christian lives more or less resemble unsaved lives. And that's why many Christian people struggle with forgiveness or struggle with things like that. And I get it. I understand it. You know, I've been there too. But what I'm trying to, you know, kind of unveil here is that there's this different kind of love called agape. And that's what Jesus is, and that's what Jesus brought. So let's look at this. So you see, that loving God is agape. John 13, 34, this is how everyone's going to know you're my disciples, because of the agape love we have for one another. That's how they're going to know. It would be a pretty simple conclusion to make for us to say, if the agape love of God flourishes between us and you relate to other people and you don't even take into account a wrong suffered, you don't even expect anything back. Now, of course, to have meaningful relationships, there's work that has to be done. Do you know what I'm saying? If you're going to be married to someone, you can't be in a situation where they just know you're not going to take any wrong into account so they can do it. That doesn't work like that. But when you have two people that agape love one another, then you have heaven on earth. Because they're both thinking the same way. But for many people, you see, we've thought the phileo way. And if there were one thing we want to get right, because the love is the greatest, right? And all the faith in the world and all the spiritual gifts in the world, wonderful though they are, if we don't have love, it's all worth nothing. And the Greek word is agape. If we don't have agape, it's all worth nothing. See, we have in the Christian church sometimes missed what really was right in front of us as the most important thing of all. All right, I've got like just a few minutes, so let me try and get this through to you and the best I can. 1 John 4:19, we agape love because he agape loved us. How can you agape love someone? How can you do that? Because it seems impossible. You only can do it because he agape loved you first. So when you receive Jesus, you receive agape love. Let's have a look. I'm going to show you one other verse. I think it's on the next page here. Because this is quite interesting. This will show you the difference and then I'm going to summarize. Look at this. This is the conversation that Simon Peter has with Jesus. You remember that? And he says, you love me? You say you love me? And he says, you know I love you. And let's have a look what it really says in the Greek. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you agape love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I phileo love you. In other words, I really like you, but it ain't totally selfless here. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. And he said again, do you agape love me? And he answered, yeah, Lord, you know that I phileo love you. He couldn't get there. He wasn't born again either by this time. So actually, no, I don't think he was. John 20, I think. Let's have a look at this. The third time he said to him, watch this, Simon, son of John, do you phileo love me? He changes his course. So if you ever wondered why Simon Peter was hurt, that's why. Peter was hurt because he asked him this third time and he switched from agape to phileo because that's the best Simon Peter had. And Peter and Simon Peter said, yeah, you know I phileo love you. Now here's the most amazing thing. This word agape, it's in the Greek, right? The Bible has the word love 500 times, something like that, in the New Testament. About three quarters of those are agape, and about a quarter are phileo. The word agape was never in the Greek language before Jesus came. You can't find it. Historians look for it, they can't find it. It was a whole new word that Jesus started, that Jesus brought, and it's not possible to love unless that agape love comes inside of you. Isn't that astounding? And the reason that faith is important is because, like I said, if you don't know you've got it, you won't act accordingly. But when you receive Jesus, so Romans 5:5, I haven't got it up there, but it says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who he gave us. And that's agape. Same thing again. The agape love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. But what you need to do is use your faith to tap into what's already there. Because this is the most powerful force in the earth. If you can learn, and you do have to learn it, to put into practice agape love, you will be astounded. Because people that used to tick you off, it's like you can see why they tick you off. They still do the same thing. But your heart has changed. And it's not bothering you anymore. And people can be hateful to you. And now you can see why through history, and especially in the first couple of hundred years of Christianity, when there was the anti-Nicene revival, really they called it, or the age of persecution and martyrdom, when Tertullian stood up and said, that your ingenious cruelties cannot defeat us. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. You might have heard that phrase. They tried ingenious cruelties to try and kill, stop, shut down Christians telling everybody about Jesus. But the historians of the day, or Philip Schaeff says, it was the love that the people found in the church that caused them to give their lives to Jesus over and over and over in all aspects of society, despite the fact that they knew their lives would be at risk if they gave it. See, it's the love of God that's powerful. And it's that we've got to develop. And then you see people in the street, and I think this is a lot to do with, you know, I didn't know all of this always, but this has a lot to do with what God did in my heart over recent years, where I just see people differently. And it's like a miracle. And for me, I think if I get irritated by something, all that I've done is I've allowed myself to step out of the agape love that I have. And I've got to keep renewing my mind and keep realizing, hang on a minute, I don't have to act like that. I don't have to take offense. I don't have to take offense at anything. Why would I? How does that help? It never helps, ever, to take offense. Not one time. It'll never do you any good. And probably deep down you know that. But certain people do certain things and we get hurt and then we take offense and we might still say, well, I still love them. And maybe you do on a phileo level, but it's agape that changes the world. You become inoffendable. Isn't it amazing? Can we turn to, we've got to go, so because we're going to have a barbecue, and I'm sorry to finish on such a pertinent point and everything like that, but let's just lift our hands toward God and take like just a minute to think on that, to meditate on that. We love, we agape because he first agape'd us. And so when I talked about faith and love, it's everything you receive from God, you receive by faith. So God's agape love is in you if you've got Jesus in you. But it takes faith to live according to that agape love. You've got to believe that it's in you. The Bible says it's in you. But sometimes, probably later today, someone's going to rub you up the wrong way. And you're going to say, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that agape love right now. I think that's just disappeared. I'm not sure what Van Essen was smoking this morning, but I don't know about that, you know. And the devil will try and trick you out of living according to agape love. That's one of the reasons I love Bob Jones. I played a little clip of him one time. And when he went to heaven as a younger man, met Jesus as he was about to enter, and he said, the first question he asked me, and it's going to be the same question he asks everybody, did you learn to love? Many Christians, they're lovely people. They mean well. I'm not being harsh. But many of them have not learnt to love. But we can. We can learn to believe that that love is in us. And we can ask God, help us to live according to that love. Holy Spirit, would you come now and touch every heart here, every person here. And thank you for the truth of your word, which absolutely sets us free. And I pray you'd speak to every person, and I know you already are, about areas of their life where agape love will make all the difference. There is nothing so wonderful as living in this agape love. Lord, if we need a fresh baptism of it, I ask you to give it to us. I ask you to speak to us during this week. And I thank you, Lord, for your word that, and your spirit that confirms your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said yes. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are full of agape. God bless you. God bless you. Isn't the word of God beautiful, huh? Isn't that great, great, great? Praise God.